The Know Your Foe series continues with another massive game at Penn State.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together for a midweek Know Your Foe episode as we continue our preview of the 2026 football season. If you are not subscribed to the show, hit that subscribe button so you know we make all this great content coming up this summer. Just as a reminder, we've got a ton of great content coming up. The defensive preview is not tonight. That was when we did that show on the weekend. But we've got offensive preview coming up this week. The Know Your Foe series, of course, is today with Penn State. So definitely hit that subscribe button, hit that like button if you like what we're doing. Another guest, we got a podcast host from Penn State Nittany Lions. This is the Nittany Blues podcast. We're going to cut to that interview right now, and then Justin and I are going to come back and tell you what we think about what Penn State can actually be next year. Andrew and Vince joining us from the Nittany Blues podcast. Thanks for joining us, guys. Andrew, I want to start with you. Tell everyone where they can find your work, by the way. You guys are a podcast. Tell people where they can find the Nittany Blues podcast.
Yeah, so people can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever they listen to podcasts. We're part of the College Huddle at thecollegehuddle.com. We have our own website, nittanyblues.com, and we're on all forms of social media at Nittany Blues or Nittany Blues Podcast.
All right, fantastic. Let's jump right into this. A tumultuous season for Penn State last year. Obviously, the firing of James Franklin, the Terry Smith comes in there, stabilizes the ship a little bit. Obviously, preseason favorites to win it all. Vince, I'm dying to understand what the pulse of this fan base is. Like, are you guys excited about Matt Campbell? Are you feeling like this is a good move for Penn State? Like, how's everyone feeling after one of the more crazy years that Penn State fans have really had to deal with?
Yeah, it was definitely a crazy year. This is something that's been kind of bottled up for a long time. There's just been years of frustration of, oh, 10-2. We can always beat like Northwestern and, you know, all the middle of the pack teams in the Big Ten. But every single year when you play Ohio State and Michigan and you're just losing year after year after year and seeing boneheaded like play calls, and it's just been like, I can't say like there's been a single game where I'm like, oh man, like James Franklin just like, it was a masterclass in coaching and he outsmarted the other coaching staff. You know, he did have a lot of areas where he was really strong. They great at recruiting, brought in a lot of talent. He did a great job building Penn State from where the program was when he got here. Did a really great job. But I think just what happened is he reached his ceiling, and there's definitely not many teams that can beat an Ohio State or a Michigan. But when you're at a big blue blood program like Penn State and you can't even win like 10% of those matchups, it's one of those things you got to say, hey, we appreciate everything you did, but it's time to move in a different direction. And, you know, things were kind of toxic with the fan base before this year. I would say probably 50% of fans wanted someone besides James Franklin coaching the Nittany Lions. And then pretty much when there was just that disaster in UCLA and Northwestern, like everybody was done and we're like, we need a new captain steering the ship. And I think everyone is really excited about Matt Campbell. James Franklin kept everything very close to the vest with the media. Campbell's very straightforward. Kind of the thing you saw with Coach Franklin after every big game loss, it was like, all right, cue script. Like, you have to give the other team credit. They did some good things, etc. And he's like, I take full responsibility and accountability, but we would never know what the changes were. Like, no changes were ever made. And you just saw the same disastrous product on the field for Penn State in every big game. And even in Matt Campbell's first presser, he he took accountability for, you know, he had afternoon practices. He talked about all the negative side effects with his team with that. And he's like, that was a mistake I made. That's why we go back to spring practice or morning practices. And that's why we're running our program this way. So I think everything about Matt Campbell, just taking accountability, making changes like that. I think it's just a breath of fresh air, having that type of personality for Penn State fans. And you got to look at what he's done at Iowa State. They were a terrible program before he got there, and he's had them in a couple conference championship games, a couple big wins over schools like Oklahoma. So I think he's a guy who has what it takes to get it done here at Penn State.
You know, I applaud what Penn State did. I know a lot from the outside, a lot of people were like, I mean, this guy wins 9 or 10 games a year. What are we doing here? Like, you're really, you could, I mean, it's obviously a risk, right? When you get rid of a guy like Franklin, mm-hmm. but nonetheless, Matt Campbell's in 39 transfers, Andrew, have come over. And a lot of them are from Iowa State, including of course, Rocco Becht. Talk about some of the big contributors, like who are Penn State fans excited about seeing on this year's roster that's new to the team that Matt Campbell's bringing in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that list definitely starts with Rocco Becht, right? Guy comes in with a tremendous amount of experience, a lot of wins under his belt at the collegiate level. So a guy who has really been there and done that for a while at this level. You know, the million-dollar question that everybody's asking is, are all these transfers going to be ready for a Big Ten level schedule? You know, not that they were playing peewee football, but, you know, we know what the rigors of like a Big Ten or an SEC schedule might look like. And he's had some injury concerns. He's coming off of some shoulder injuries. And so there's some questions about, you know, whether he's going to be fully ready to go by the beginning of the season. Just from what we've seen and what we've read about like his intensity and his competitiveness, I don't think he's going to be kept off the field in that respect. But you know, people are going to be anxious to see like how he performs, especially because, you know, there were definitely some mixed reviews and feelings about Drew Aller. So I think people are excited about a new guy under center wearing the blue and white. And then behind him, I think it's Benjamin Brommer all the way. This is a guy who's just been loaded with buzz and hype around him as an elite tight end prospect, came over, had tremendous production at Iowa State. Penn State has a pretty rich history of recent tight end play as well. So we think that it's going to be just a seamless transition to what fans are excited about in Happy Valley. And, you know, beyond that, there's a couple of impact defensive players, including some of the backfield. So there's a couple of guys in there. I mean, it's a transfer heavy class, mostly out of necessity. Obviously a ton of those guys coming over from Iowa State because they were familiar with Matt Campbell, the coordinators and their systems. So it's just kind of a mixture of, you know, what you got with these guys. And also just, we need bodies, you know, to a certain degree. There was a mass exodus, which was to be expected from Penn State. And so you needed to really fill those gaps.
Vince, one of the things that Penn State's always been known for is a good pass rush. So you kind of touched on defense a little bit there, Andrew. How is the pass rush looking? Have the defensive line and the ability to kind of like get after the quarterback, which is something Penn State's really known for. Do you guys have the personnel for that right now? Are you feel good about that position?
So that is actually a really good question, because that is one of the biggest question marks on this Penn State roster. You know, under James Franklin, we had more of the athletic defensive tackles who were just attacking, going for the quarterback. Pretty much every guy Matt Campbell brought in is like 330 pounds at defensive tackles. So like, I think their philosophy is like, hey, you are not running the ball down the middle. And I think they're going to try to rely on the strength of the secondary to be like, hey, the pass rush isn't going to be as great, but we're hoping that, you know, guys like Zion Tracy, Davion Collins, Darius Dixon can hold up in coverage for enough time for, you know, that front seven to get there and get pressure on the quarterback. So that's going to be a big difference and kind of something that is, we're not going to know until we see it. At defensive end, it's a lot of question marks. Evan Kamaju did a really nice job last year as a freshman. I was really impressed with him. Max Granville is a guy who there's always a lot of buzz around, but he's been dealing with injuries and wasn't able to play last season. You got Alex McPherson from Colorado. Not sure how he's going to look. You actually have LeVar Arrington Jr. who's transitioning from linebacker to defensive end. So there's a lot of bodies in that room, Iziaku out of Iowa State. I thought he looked good in the blue-white practice that I saw. So there's a lot of different guys there, but it's going to be kind of an unknown how the pass rush is going to be compared to, you know, prior years.
And that's the thing about both of our teams, right? It's a great unknown. We've got a ton of new transfers, new quarterback. You guys got the same thing. Andrew, as you kind of look at this roster right now, what would you say is the strongest position group that Penn State's going to put out there in the fall?
Oh man, that's a great question. I think just in terms of top end talent, I'd probably still put it at tight end, just with Benjamin Brommer and Andrew Rapplier, who's going to be coming back from injury. And then probably a close second, I would put at cornerback. You've got Darius Dixon, who had a very promising freshman campaign, along with Aldavian Collins, who has had some good results, and he's got another year under his belt. And they got a couple of transfers in as well from Iowa State that have been pretty highly touted. So I would put them at number two, and, you know, kind of like in the middle of the pack that we think are going to be pretty good. I mean, linebacker, as long as Tony Rojas can stay healthy, I think has a pretty good chance to be very impactful. And I mean, depending on like how things go, I'm actually becoming more and more optimistic about the offensive line, just with some of the guys that they've got coming back, along with some of the transfers that they're using or that they brought in to plug in some of the gaps of guys who have now left the program. I think that's a weird thing to say in retrospect, considering how many guys graduated and are no longer going to be playing in the offensive line from last year, but that's just kind of where I'm at. But yeah, definitely the tight end group, though. I think, you know, if you had to place your bet somewhere, that's the position group where I'm gravitating towards.
And I might have already asked you about your weakest one, Vince. Is it the pass rush? Is that where you guys are most vulnerable at this point right now? Or is there another group that you feel vulnerable and is your weakest kind of spot?
Yeah, for me, I think that is the biggest concern for me personally. Just how are we going to get a pass rush going? Because we've been kind of, you know, blessed with a lot of really good pass rushers over the number of years.
Yeah.
under Manny Diaz defenses and Tom Allen. Another area that's a big question mark, we seem to be cursed in this area, is the wide receiver group. Now there's a new wide receiver coach. I think that could make a big difference. And I watched all of Iowa State's games last year. We got two of their transfers and Brett Eccleston and Chase Sowell, and they made some nice plays, but there was also times where, you know, it looked like there was a miscommunication between, you know, maybe the wide receiver ran the wrong route or the quarterback thought, you know, he was going this way, this guy was going the other way. And there were some drops and I'm like, oh, this looks like Penn State. But also there are times where they're making nice plays. So I think, you know, that as Penn State fans, that's going to be a big thing for us. We do have Kobe Howard coming back. He flashed a little bit as a freshman. So I would say wide receiver and edge rusher are probably the two biggest question marks and concerns I have going into the season.
All right. So this one, the big question to both of you, I'll start with you, Andrew, on this one, but big picture, you lost a lot of games last year, more than Penn State normally loses. You've got a whole new roster, which we've already talked about, and I appreciate all the insight that you've given us. What's the big picture look at this season? The schedule's not too difficult, really. You've got USC on there. You've got Michigan. You've got the Mighty Badgers as well, of course. But then the back half of the season, you got Washington and a bunch of other teams that are really not Minnesota maybe, but it looks like a fairly easy schedule. What's the win total that you are projecting for this season? And your overall kind of thought on the success that Penn State's going to have this year. And then I'll come to you after that, Vince.
Yeah, I think right now I would say my bet is for 10 wins this season. And that's even more optimistic than what I thought maybe a couple of months ago. But just the more that I think about this season and the opportunity that's in front of them, I think that 10 wins is certainly attainable here. If I had to, you know, place my bets on a couple of losses here, the most likely ones are definitely going to be at the Big House against Michigan, and then probably the one right before that at home against USC. And, you know, that being said, there is still the possibility of a couple more losses creeping into the schedule here. I mean, this is such a an unknown in terms of the overall team and the overall roster. I mean, you're piecing together basically two halves of two different teams and trying to create a cohesive unit. And obviously there's a lot of experience in production that Matt Campbell and company brought over, but you don't know what the finished product is going to be and what kinds of results are going to produce. So I'm optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't think it's crazy that some people are putting Penn State kind of on their dark horse, you know, playoff contender lists and stuff like that, mainly because of the schedule that they have in front of them. But right now, I think the most likely outcome is 10 wins.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking the 10 win boat as well, although I have my losses slightly different. James Franklin would have loved the schedule. No Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana. He would have feasted. But I think Michigan is, I agree with Andrew, that's going to be, we never have played well in the Big House. I cannot tell you the last time we won there just because I don't know. It's been that long. I think Washington is probably the game that scares me the second most on the schedule. I think that's going to be a loss. West Coast is always hard. They have a great fan base. They're very loud over there at Mount Rainier. So, and Jed Fish is doing a great job with that program. I think they're a team that's very underestimated in the Big Ten. So I think that's going to be a loss. USC kind of seems to be like Penn State. They seem to have all of this talent, but can't string together an 11 win season. So I've heard rumors that USC game is going to be the whiteout. And if you have ever been to a whiteout, like, you'll take Penn State, any money line, like Nittany Lions, all day. It is different. Like you also have Deonton Lynn, who is on USC's coaching staff. You have Matt Campbell, who actually beat Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. Well, he was at Oklahoma. So there's some familiarity there. So I think I have good vibes going into that game. A scary game on the schedule is Northwestern, though. That's a Friday night. That's going to be their first game in their, like, fancy new, is it Ryan Field, whatever the stadium name is. And I think it's actually engineered to try to be loud, even though it doesn't hold a lot of fans. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. And they beat us last year. So I think that's kind of like a low-key difficult game on Penn State schedule.
Well, both of you answered incorrectly because neither of you said that the Badger game is going to be one of your difficult ones. And I understand.
It's in Beaver Stadium.
It's in Beaver Stadium, but we are going to be a much improved team, which of course the people that are listening to this right now are going to be like, who the heck are these guys? What are they talking about? I get it though. It's good.
For the record, I have it as like a three point spread in that game. Like, I think it's going to be close.
It is going to be close. It's really going to come down to our ability to whether, you know, Cole Joseph, who's our transfer quarterback from Old Dominion, like he could be the next group of five guy that comes up to the Big Ten and does really well. It could be a big nothing. We don't really know. Our defense has definitely got really good at the back half of the last year, and it's going to be an issue for a lot of teams that no one's really talking about. So our defense is definitely going to be problematic. Hopefully it's problematic for Matt Campbell and Rocco Becht, but we'll see. Andrew and Vince from the Nittany Blues podcast, thank you so much for joining us. Go check out what they do on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
He's Justin. They think they're going to go 10-2. I think that's a little high, but listen, let's be honest. We're all homers of our team. So I get it. I totally get it. They're excited about the fact that they have 39 transfers, a brand new head coach. They've got all kinds of activity. They got Rocco Becht. They got the tight end from Iowa State. Like, they I understand why they feel the way they do. And one of the reasons that I understand it is the schedule. So I do want to bring that up. The schedule is definitely not strong, just like ours is not that strong. What do you think about it? I feel like you disagree with these guys. What were your thoughts on
this? This is a team that was more talented last year and went 7-6. Now, albeit it was a really tough schedule, but they also lost games to UCLA. They only beat Rutgers by 4 points. Like, I think you need to slow your roll a little bit. Like, there's some games on here that are coin flip games now, because I think the roster has come back to the pack. I don't think this is a Penn State team that we look at and you like every year Penn State has a couple of guys that you'd say those are first round picks. They've had it. It's typically a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. They've had those guys that have been a problem for everyone other than maybe like Ohio State. I don't think they have any guys like that on defense now that I look at and be like, all right, these guys in the front seven, they're going to be a problem. And I think that's a big deal because that makes a huge difference when you need to make those plays in a tight game. For better or worse, that's why Wisconsin has lost to Penn State a lot of the times, because we have not had quite enough of those guys. And they've consistently had guys that were able to kind of mess things up when Wisconsin needed a late game drive. And quarterback is another position. I would say this is probably the closest that the quarterback positions have been between the two teams. And since maybe, man, like probably going back to like 2013 type time, like this, the gap is pretty close. I think Joseph has a chance to be a pretty darn good Big Ten quarterback. I'm not sure Becht is going to be a guy who's a all conference quarterback. I think he can be very solid for them. I think he's a guy that you can rely on to not make a bunch of just huge mistakes in big moments. But I'm not necessarily sure he's a guy that can carry that team.
So first of all, I think looking at the holistically, their schedule is a little bit weak, right? We talked about that a little bit. They play USC at home. They play Michigan on the road. They play us at home. Then their back half is fairly weak. They've got like Maryland and Rutgers, Purdue. They do go to Washington. So there's winnable games, Minnesota potentially, but that's really it. Like I literally just told you their entire Big Ten schedule. There's no Ohio State. There's no Oregon. There's no Indiana. They don't have those games. Their over and under projected win total as far as the betting lines is 8.5 or 9.5. So, and those guys tend to know what they're doing, right? I mean, those lines mean something. So I think 10-2 is not a crazy prediction. They are obviously, it's a Penn State guys. I totally get it. We're sitting here projecting 7 or 8. Like I think people look at us and be like, are you crazy? But we're 6.5 as far as the betting line. So I think we can comfortably say that we're feeling like we're going to go over. Their dudes are saying the same thing. I think where you're right on this, which I like what you said, is their rosters come back to the pack a little bit. Like, yes, Iowa State's got a good roster, but they are still getting good recruits. They still have a ton of good recruits that in the last few classes that, yeah, they lost a lot of them, but they also still have, they still recruit better than we do. So their roster inherently is better than Wisconsin's just as a baseline, okay, because they're blue blood. But then they lost a lot of talent. They obviously lost their running back, the entire backfield to the NFL. They had 8 draft picks. They have to replace a lot. They did replace a lot. They are suffering from the same thing we are. It's the great unknown. We don't really understand what our offense is going to look like. They don't understand what their offense is going to look like. One of the things that I thought was most interesting that I think Vince said was that their pass rush is one of their weakest positions, which Penn State never has a bad pass rush. Yeah. So that is something that I feel like, well, maybe there's an opportunity for us to have a bit more time in the backfield. Maybe that means we can run the ball a little better. They did have good defensive tackles, they said. And if we can, if Colton Joseph can find his rhythm in those two games between Notre Dame and Penn State and open it up against Penn State, I do think this is a sneaky opportunity for us to get a massive early season win. One of the things I mentioned to them after we recorded that video is that game, in my opinion, is a 50-50. They have a slight edge, but I think that if we beat them, they could go into a tailspin. If conversely, if they beat us and we're 2-2 at that point, and then we got Michigan State coming home, like, I don't know, like, are we going to get tense about, oh man, here comes another 5 or 6 win season? Like, it is a very interesting time to play that game, but I agree. Their roster has come back a little bit. And if they've got issues at pass rush, I don't really know what, when you say your strongest position is tight end, which I get, they've got a great tight end. That doesn't necessarily bode well for the rest of the team, but I do hear why they picked that. Certainly Vegas thinks they're also going to have 9 or 10 wins, just to be fair.
Yeah. What I will say with regards to some of this is that when they said that they have kind of pluggers on the defensive line a little bit more than what they've had in the past, mm-hmm. what I would say is this might be the one year you don't want to have that against Wisconsin, because you actually have a quarterback who's capable of breaking contain. And if you have edges that are more stout than athletic, he's a problem, because he will absolutely outrun your guy to the corner and take it 20 yards upfield if that's the case. I think it's not that I don't feel that they will be talented. It's more that I feel like I wonder if they have enough guys who are difference makers. And I kind of brought it up before we came on here. I feel like it has a very Iowa flavor to it. Maybe Beck is going to be a better quarterback. Maybe a solid Iowa quarterback with a good defense. But the difference is that we've seen Iowa be locked in and doing that for 10 years. This is a first year coaching staff with a completely new roster that doesn't have all that ingrained to work with. It doesn't mean they'll be bad. It means I think they have far less room for error this year than what they've had in the past. And there's legitimately teams that I look at. Like, I kind of looked at some of this and I was like, you know what? We can make the argument. I don't even really think it's an argument. Michigan, USC, and Washington have better rosters than them. And I mean that because at significant positions, they have a better player. USC has a lot of better players. Now, the question with them is, can they come east and actually win? Mm-hmm. Washington has a quarterback that is very dynamic. It's a lot like us, where I think they are probably a little further up the ladder in terms of what they have. But that's a quarterback that you don't want to be able to not contain. If he's a guy that gets the edge against them, he's a problem. And then Michigan is just still a stacked roster. Like they've continued to recruit at a very high level. And I think they have a coach that's actually a legitimately better coach than what they've had the last couple of years.
When I hit the end button on the recording, I did tell them, I was like, our defense is going to scare some people. And I do think that that's one thing that we have that other people don't, is like, those linebackers are difference makers. And I think your point about difference makers is a really good one, Justin. I think that's a very fair, well said. Like, how many times have we seen difference makers on Penn State's roster? And are those guys there? Tight end? Sure. Rocco Beck? Okay. They've got some. Now, listen, their defensive backfield is pretty solid, right? They've got some good cornerbacks. They're good defensive backfield. But you're right. Like, those traditional Penn State linebackers, like LeVar Arrington Jr. is up on the defensive line now. There's a potential. But I don't see a massive difference maker. I think this team is going to be good. And this team's definitely going to win 8 or 9 games for sure. Yeah. But because their schedule is the Penn State roster with that schedule, you're going to win 8 or 9 games. The question is, can you get to 10? I understand why they think they're going to get to 10, because they're like us. I totally hear that. But I think looking at it from our perspective, and just from not even in this game, just objectively, I'm on Penn State, I do think that roster's come back a little bit. I think you're absolutely right about that. I have a odd sense of confidence in this game. I don't really know why. Like, I know we're going to get probably trucked by Notre Dame, and then we're going to have 2 wins. And it's that precipice game where we can go 3-1. We could go 2-2. We could like be looking at Michigan State, or we could start the Big Ten season 1-0 with a win in Happy Valley. Then we have Michigan State coming in. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, whoa, what can we do? Right. I mean, how can we make this actually work? We go into a bye week then we go to UCLA. Like, it is it's an early season tone setter for the Badgers. And it's going to be the first, like, obviously Notre Dame is just a better team than us, but this is that test of how much better did Wisconsin actually get? Yeah. If you don't think Wisconsin got better, if you're a Penn State fan listening to this, you're incorrect. Wisconsin did get better. And I think your team theoretically got better, but because they were so bad last year. But Matt Campbell's a better coach than James Franklin, theoretically. I do think this is that tone-setting game. And I am oddly confident, Justin. I don't know why, but I'm oddly confident.
Yeah, I think this is a game that this is one of the reasons you go and get a guy like Joseph, who's a dynamic athlete. You have the chance for him to make plays in a tight game where he's just capable of being someone. He's the unaccounted for guy. Mm-hmm. In the past, Wisconsin's always had a pocket passing quarterback that you didn't have that threat to break it and just make something happen. We've always had to deal with that from the other teams. This is one of the few times Wisconsin is the team that has that, which puts a lot of teams into the vise a little bit, where it's like, we have to make a choice. We can either, we can put somebody, a spy on him, or do some things. But even if you put a spy on him, do you have a guy that's athletic enough to keep him under control? Because there are very few linebackers in this league that are probably as athletic as what Joseph is. Now, you don't want him taking a ton of hits, but he's probably a legit 4-5 guy, 4-6 guy running. And if that's the case, you have to be on him. Like, you can't make a misstep, because that's 15 yards probably.
Fair. So are you feeling fairly confident at this? I mean, you're like, do you feel like we can do this?
I do. I feel coming into this game, I told you, I think that the advantage I would give Penn State going into this game is that they have
Beaver Stadium.
The atmosphere is going to be a difference. And I think if they don't find people to make plays on defense, and I mean that in the front 7, I'm not going to say the secondary, because I'm sure they have quality secondary guys. If they don't have guys in the front 7 that can make plays, I think they're going to struggle during this season, because yes, I think they'll be okay against the run. But if they deal have to deal with quarterbacks that are capable of RPOing them and stuff like that, I think if you have just pluggers in the middle, it's going to be a problem unless your guys are really disciplined.
Very fair point. Very fair point. Thank you again to Vince and Andrew from the Nittany Blues podcast. Next week on Know Your Foe, USC. We've got a great reporter from USC's media team. So that is going to be a beat writer for USC. So that's going to be really exciting. We're going to do that interview next week and have USC covered there. But check us out on Sunday. Offensive preview is coming up this Sunday. We're going to talk all things offense for the Wisconsin Badgers. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.